It's a beautiful morning. Hi, and welcome to CyberStation USA Radio Network and Capitol Hill Insight. My name is Elizabeth Letchworth, and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes on Capitol Hill Insight. Capitol Hill Insight is a radio program. It airs twice weekly, Mondays at 7 p.m. and Fridays at 7 p.m., the show you're listening now. And typically on the Monday show, we talk about what Congress is doing, what they're doing for you or to you. And then typically on the Friday show, 7 p.m., we wrap up the week, we recap the week, and we talk about, did Congress do what they said they were going to do? And did they do it well? These next couple of weeks, though, Congress, as I think most of you know, is in their summer recess. They've been in the recess and will be in their recess until the 13th of September. So we're going to do a couple of shows that'll be kind of fun. You'll learn some really cool inside information about how your Congress works. You may think it's great. You may laugh at the show and think this is wonderful, or you may end up wanting to put your face in your hands and cry. Either way, I promise you it will be the truth. It will be truly inside information. And as always, Capitol Hill Insight is brought to you by GradeGov.com. GradeGov is a free website that lets you grade members of Congress and follow up your grade with a letter explaining the grade. And when I say grade, I mean the grades we all got in school, the A, B, C, D, or F. It's a super easy website to use. Once you join, whoever you wish to grade, start typing that member of Congress's name in the find box on the homepage. And he or she will have a page that'll pop up. It's their page on GradeGov. You can see their grades. You can see letters that constituents have written to them, or maybe somebody from the other part of the country has written to them. You can see fun facts. What was unemployment when they were first elected to Congress? What is it now in their state? How do they vote on TARP? How do they vote on the stimulus bill? Maybe you want to know, did they vote for that health care bill? All of that is on their page on GradeGov. So shop around, look around. You can grade your member of Congress or you can grade any member of Congress. You are limited to one a day. So the site stays as pure as possible. Imagine if an organization were to spend its entire lunch hour just going through the whole site grading all F's or all A's. Congress needs to know the website is your voice and not an organization with an agenda. So we limited to one grade per day, but you can look as often as you want. Congress at a glance is written by yours truly. You can always get a snapshot of what's going on in Congress through Congress at a Glance. And again, that is on GradeGov.com, where your voice can be heard on Capitol Hill. Now, let's talk about some of the weird stuff that Congress does. And it's not that this is the first Congress that decided to do the weird stuff. This one's really called a budget con or bait and switch. And I'll tell you that this administration, the Obama administration, or the Democrats in Congress, they weren't the first ones to do this. You remember the last budget Bush tax cuts? They were adopted in the spring of 06. They used this procedure, this budget con, or this bait and switch. I'm going to tell you a real quick story about a family I think you probably know about. And then we'll talk about how this is used in Congress. Here we go. Meet the Smith family. They're a family of three with a preteen growing boy. Mom and dad typically attend PTA. They do community work, and they are pillars in their community. Tommy wants the new iPhone. But you know what? There's no money in their family budget to responsibly buy this phone. So Tommy makes a deal with Mom and Dad. He says, you know what? I'll give up my allowance over the next 2 years, starting at Christmas time, in order for you guys to buy me the phone. Mom and Dad think about it, and you know what? Now they can justify paying the iPhone without busting the budget. The deal's made, the phone's bought, and the parents now know they'll have 2 years of Tommy's allowance to help offset the cost of the iPhone. They won't be making their monthly payments to Tommy. Well, everybody's happy. Christmas time comes to the Smith family home, and Mom and Dad feel really guilty about their son not getting an allowance in the next 2 years coming up. So they agree to begin paying his allowance. The iPhone payment deal is null and void, but Tommy still has the iPhone. What if the same deal happened year after year after year? Tommy starts wanting the newest and the latest high-tech gadget every time. From the iPhone to the iPad to the new Kindle, Tommy wants it all. Mom and Dad agree to the deal because they believe Tommy needs these things to be competitive. Sounds familiar. And he needs these things to stay relevant with his friends. Will this family go broke? Likely, I suppose. Mom and Dad could get better jobs so that more money would come into the household budget. If they don't do that, they could cut expenses. Maybe they could cut their cable bill or their phone bill. Does this sound familiar at all to you? Does the Smith sound like maybe something you've done in your past? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I'm going to take a quick break and find out who really resembles the Smith family. So hold on and stay tuned.
You talk too much, you worry me to death. You talk too much, you even worry my pet. You just talk, talk too much.
You talk. Hi, and welcome back to CyberStation USA and Capitol Hill Insight. We're talking about a budget con, a bait and switch. And unfortunately, I'm going to tell you, ultimately, that your Congress is pulling this stunt on you and me. We just talked of a story and read a story about the Smith family who decided to pay for something for their son because they thought the son needed it or the son needed it to be relevant with his friends, and they really didn't have the money to buy it. It was that new iPhone. So instead of saying no, or instead of saving up for it, they wanted it now. He wanted it now. They decided, well, we'll just simply not give him his allowance. And then that money every month that we were supposed to give to Tommy for his allowance, we'll put that towards the iPhone and we'll pay it off. We didn't really bust the budget by doing it that way. Tommy's happy. Mom and Dad are happy. But you know what? They can't quite go through with the deal when it's time to stop paying Tommy his allowance. They feel sorry for him. So they say, never mind, we'll pay it. We'll pay your allowance anyway to you, but he keeps the iPhone. And Tommy, the Smiths, keep doing this deal over and over. See, Tommy wants an iPad now, and then he wants Kindle. Then he wants, it can go on and on and on. The droid, I'm sure, is somewhere in there also. Congress has been just like Tommy's mom and dad over the last decade. Yep. They pay for many pieces of legislation by saying they will apply tax payments from future years to pay the tab associated with the bill that's making its way through Congress now. Remember we just talked about the small business lending bill? That creates a $30 billion pot of money for banks to use to lend to small businesses. Where do they get that $30 billion? It's a bait and switch. It's like Tommy's mom and dad. They ask big corporations to pay their 2015 third quarter tax returns. That's where they're going to get the money. When those tax returns are due, Congress is saying they will use that money to pay the fund, to pay to fund the $30 billion fund that the small business lending bill creates. But just like Tommy's parents, before the 2015 tax bill is due, you know what? They'll end up saying, never mind. We don't really want that money anymore. They'll rescind it or repeal it, just like Tommy's parents said, never mind, to stopping paying him his allowance. SCHIP, you remember that? That's the Children's Health Insurance Program, State Children's Health Insurance Program, SCHIP. It was created basically back in the 90s when Hillary Care failed to pass. Senator Hatch of Utah, a Republican, Senator Kennedy, obviously a Democrat from Massachusetts, the deceased Senator Kennedy, they were the main sponsors of SCHIP back in the 90s. It was passed by using reconciliation, that budget procedure. And it created a state children's health insurance program for children that were really and truly needed, in need. Parents could not afford health insurance. This created a pot of money for the states to start offering this insurance. Well, you can well imagine that there were two attempts during the first couple of years the Democrats took back control of Congress in 2007 and 2008 to expand the funding of the program. President Bush vetoed both of them. He said that the efforts were steps towards federalizing health care, and it would steer the program away from its current purpose, which is providing insurance for poor children and towards covering children of middle-class families. Boy, does that sound familiar? Well, guess what? When this Congress took over in 2009, when President Obama was sworn into office in 2009, one of the first things they did was the SCHIP bill. They expanded the SCHIP bill to cover 4 million additional children and women. And for the first time, it now includes legal immigrants, and there's no waiting period. How'd they pay for that bill? The bait and switch. Remember the Smith family? They have told the folks that voted for the SCHIP bill that the bill will be paid for because we're going to get it from tax returns in the future. 2012, 2013, 2016, some of them are already up to 2019. But just like Tommy's mom and dad, before the tax bill is actually due, Congress will make it null and void. They'll put it in one piece of legislation. It'll be one line in a 2,000-page bill or a 2-page bill. And the line will say that this provision is null and void. So technically, when members of Congress vote on these bills, they're being told the truth. They're being told that the bill, the tab associated with the bill, is being paid. However, in reality, like I said, just like Christmas time at the Smith family, Congress makes the deal null and void. Let me give you another one that you probably remember hearing about. Do you remember the Cadillac tax? The Cadillac tax that taxed Cadillac plans? It was put in the Obama health care bill. You remember a lot of people screamed and hollered because Maybe you negotiated a good health care plan, and now they're going to tax it? Maybe you negotiated it in lieu of time off. Maybe you negotiated it in lieu of salary increases. You'd rather have a better health care plan than a little more money. And now, all of a sudden, President Obama is proposing to tax that health plan, and he dubbed it a Cadillac plan. Well, there was such outrage at that the president decided that the Cadillac plan, they wouldn't be taxed until 2018. That's when that tax becomes due. And they'll use that tax, in theory, to pay for other parts of the bill. But you know what the reality is? They'll never let that tax go in effect. They'll repeal that Cadillac plan before 2018. And what have we done with the bill? What have we done with whatever portion of the health care bill was supposed to be paid for with that money? The legislative language lives on. Whatever portion of that bill that is supposed to be a program and do its thing will continue to do its thing. And the cost of whatever the program is gets added right onto our debt. Because they forgive the 2018 tax, there's no way of paying for it. This is what they've been doing over and over and over again. They passed a HIRE Act, H-I-R-E, and it's a Higher Incentives to Restore Employment. The HIRE Act that was passed earlier this year. It gave small businesses $1,000 tax credit if they hired a new employee and that employee stayed there for a year. How did they get money to pay for that? The Smith family bait and switch. The budget con. That's how they did it. Let's trip down in history here for just a minute. But before we do that, I'm going to take another quick break, so stay tuned. Thanks for staying with me through the break. We're talking about Congress's budget con or their bait and switch. And you, ladies and gentlemen, they have been doing this for years. When the Democrats took over Congress in 2007, that Congress that went all the way through the year 2007 and all the way through the year 2008, that democratically controlled Congress, used this bait and switch, this budget con, 7 different times. This Congress already, the one that started in 2009 and will end at the end of this calendar year, whenever that is for them, they've already used it 7 different times. We talked about the fact that a clear example of it is the Cadillac tax that's in the health care bill, that 2,400-page bill. The Cadillac plan is, if you, and I'm sure you remember, is the plan that will tax the nicer of the health care plans that you and I might have, we might have negotiated. It taxes those beginning at the year 2018. I do remember when Congress was debating the health care bill, I do remember the Cadillac plan being a huge controversy because so many state employees, the state of Texas, for example, the state of Oklahoma, for example, all those state employees from your teacher to your fireman, all of them have health care plans. And under the description of the Obama administration, those are Cadillac plans. So those folks will start getting this tax on their health care plans. It'll be taxed as income. They determine the worth of the health care plan. And then when it has a monetary worth, whether they deem it's worth $20,000 a year or $30,000 a year, then that's added onto your income. And that's how they used, that program, that Cadillac tax, beginning in 2018, the money they project to get from that tax is used to pay for part of the other bill. But as I've been talking about, the con that's going on, the bait and switch that's going on in Congress, is the fact that before 2018, just like Tommy's mom and dad, they're going to make the deal null and void. As we talked about before the break, let's take a little trip down memory lane. Who can remember the last time the federal government had a balanced budget? A budget without a debt? It was 2001, a decade ago, basically. It was the Clinton administration. And thanks to the explosion of dot-coms and Republicans cutting spending, that was congressional Republicans cutting spending, a combination of those two things, just like a combination of Tommy's mom and dad, if they were to have gone out and gotten better jobs or cut some of their budget expenditures like their cable bill or their phone bill, they could have balanced it, but they didn't. But Congress did back then. The dot-coms brought so much tax revenue into the Treasury. And then that, in a combination with the spending cuts, the last 4 years of the Clinton administration saw no budget debt for our nation at all. And then in comes George Bush. We can fast forward the tape right now. And when we do that, we see the occurrence of 9/11, that horrible time in our history. And then right after that, we had created the Department of Homeland Security, that huge behemoth of a government department, a government agency. Remember, it's got, when was the last time everybody flew and saw the thousands of, the sea of TSA employees? Those are all Homeland Security employees. Then we had the war in Iraq. And every year that the war went on and on, the president, President Bush, waved his magic wand, deemed the bill an emergency when he requested the funding from Congress, and it wasn't paid for. So, as we fast-forwarded the tape, we found out that the Bush administration added debt like you wouldn't believe after the end of the 8 years. At the end of the Bush administration 8 years, a combination of the war funding, a combination of various security bills and funding that the president believed he had to do to keep us safe, the reinsurance programs that the federal government all of a sudden had to start insuring, all of the security bills that were passed, and a very, very expensive war. By the end of the 8 years of the Bush administration, President Bush left our nation, his presidency, with a debt of $700 billion. Kind of sad, isn't it? You know what's really, really sad? Let's fast forward the tape again. We don't have to do this very fast. 18 months into the Obama administration, and you know what our debt is? Remember, it was $700 billion. It's quadrupled that $700 billion in 18 months. That, ladies and gentlemen, is scary. And Congress keeps pulling the bait and switch on us. They keep pulling this budget con on us. They call up bills, the one that's pending in the Senate right now. They stand on the floor and say, this bill is paid for. I don't know why members of the Senate won't vote for it. It's paid for. And we all know that the 2015 third quarter estimated taxes from huge corporations will never be designated or sent to pay this bill, this $30 billion tab that's associated with the small business lending bill. Because before the Congress gets to 2015, I don't know, maybe in two Congresses from now, one Congress from now, they'll slip in a bill, somewhere in a bill, one-liner, that repeals the provision that requires huge corporations to pay this extra tax on their 2015 third quarter taxes. That's the bait and switch, ladies and gentlemen. That's the con that's being played on you and me. That's how you end up in less than 2 years taking what is already a gross $700 billion debt and quadruple it. What's the moral of this story? It's not that hard to figure out, is it? The moral of the story is that Tommy's parents need to stop spending, or the family's going to go broke. The Smiths will lose their home. They'll lose their possessions. They'll lose all of their financial freedom. You know, the once happy, strong, confident Smith family, they'll become wards of the state. Well, you know what? America is following in the Smith family's exact footprints. We will lose our property. We'll lose our freedoms. And then we'll become wards of China. Is that not scary, ladies and gentlemen? You need to go on gradegov.com. Let members of Congress know you get the bait and switch. You understand the budget con. You know that the Bush administration got out of control and left this country with a $700 billion debt. But to quadruple that in less than 2 years is insanity. Let your voice be heard on gradegov.com. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to Capitol Hill Insight and Cyber Station USA Radio Network. I hope you'll stay tuned next time. In the meantime, be safe, God bless, and stay tuned. It's a beautiful